The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Fleet Feet.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. It's the Pensacola Expert Panel. I am your host, Jake Walker. Thank you for joining me on another beautiful morning. Hump day is going to be just perfect weather, so get out there and enjoy it. And before those feet hit the street, you need to go to Fleet Feet. And that's in Pensacola and Mobile. Go to FleetFeetPensacola.com, right? Or FleetFeetMobile.com. And check them out on social media. There's lots of great events coming up and 5K run and lots of things we're going to be talking about this morning. Joining me in the studio is Micaiah Rockwell from Fleet Feet. Sir, how are you doing this morning?
Hi, doing good. Thanks for having me this morning.
Yeah, as always, it's a lot of fun talking to you because there's just so much technology and so many things out there that can help us avoid pain in our everyday life just walking down the street. Lots of us have back trouble and knee and hip pain, and there's ways that we can combat that and make every step feel a little bit better. So let's talk about that today. When somebody comes into Fleet Feet, they might not know a lot about what's going on, so guide us through the process a little bit of how you you look at our steps and our feet and how you can kind of custom design our footwear for us.
Yeah, so I like that you put it like that. What we are shoe fitting experts, so it's our job to know all about the shoes and how each shoe, each brand or model within that brand will work for your feet. So whenever you come into the shop, you're going to be greeted by an outfitter that it's going to take you through this process seamlessly. There's no appointment necessary. We have the top of technology in the store from just going from back in the old days where we work with feet. We still work with feet, but where they used to use an X-ray scanner, we use 3D imagery now and a pressure plate. So we get all of the measurements of each foot, where your pressure points go, and then your outfitter that's assigned to you upon your arrival is able to interpret and educate you on that information to eliminate. We have 150 different shoe brands and models to eliminate it down to the top three best fits. And the outfitter wants to see what is fitting your foot the best, supporting your foot, but then also taking your preferences into consideration as well. The most important thing with the foot shoe fitting is the sizing, and most people get it wrong. The reason is because they sit down and test their shoe length, and most people are going to have one foot that's about half size different from the other. So if you sit down, your arches coil back, and if you happen to test that wrong foot, you're going to be a half to a full size off. Whenever you stand up, your arches splay under your weight, and if you're over your normal body weight, you're actually going to have a little bit more splay. Here's something very interesting that I've seen also. In the spring, people's feet measure about a half size shorter than they do in the fall. We've been in supportive shoes during this cool weather. We've been barefoot, flip-flop through the summer, and our feet actually splay out. I get a lot of people coming into the store. They're like, oh, I wear between an 8 or 8.5. It's highly likely you actually wear both of those sizes depending on the year. Then again, wow. Each brand and model fit slightly differently.
Right. And I always thought that's what it was. It's like, oh, well, it's just different shoe companies make their sizes a little differently, just like when you're going to shop for jeans, you know. But I've never heard that, to where your feet are different sizes depending on what season it is.
Seasonal changes.
That is amazing. Yeah. Okay. All right. Never heard that before.
So I have a shoe secret whenever we get to a point, and you're going to definitely want to hear this shoe secret that us outfitters use for shoes and identifying shoes and support systems. Mm. But we'll talk about that here in a little bit.
Ah, you're going to tease us a little bit. All right. Okay. We'll wait for that. If you have questions or comments this morning, 437-1620, you can call or text the show and join the conversation. If you have questions for Micaiah this morning from Fleet Feet, let us know, and we will get those questions answered right here live on the air. All right. The Fit ID foot scan, this new technology, what else is special about Fleet Feet when somebody comes in? Because you guys don't just have shoes. You've got apparel. You've got all this other stuff going on. Let's talk about that a little bit. Because socks are important. We take them for granted.
Definitely. Socks are, they prevent the most common foot injury. The most common foot injury is blisters.
Oh, yes.
Blisters can cause compensation injuries. If you have the littlest piece of debris in your shoe, you're going to be shimmying that around. If you get a blister on your foot, you're going to be compensating your weight. We also carry apparel. We have a brand of flip-flops called UFOs. really high cushion, really high support for those people who stand up out of bed and their feet or heels hurt. These are great for them. They go walk on the beach. These types of flip-flops actually stay on top of the sand. We carry all brands and major brands of shoes in the store. A lot of people think that we only accommodate to runners. We accommodate runners, walkers. We definitely accommodate all those people standing on their feet all day, or even those just needing some pain relief. We work really closely with our medical community with that. And we do insoles as well for boots, shoes, and all of the above. And then we work closely with the medical community where if we need further help, we have great referrals that we can send people to.
Yeah, finding a good podiatrist, that's definitely important sometimes. All right, so let's talk about if somebody wants to start running, they should not just pick a lane and just start going for it, right? We should probably get a little bit of knowledge and maybe have a little bit of training, a little bit of beginner knowledge there. So how can you help us out with that?
Yeah, so Advision is what we give. Whether you're walking for exercise or running for exercise or walk running, we do provide training programs or just friendly staff in the store to help progress and bounce ideas back and forth from. In 17 days, we have a new 8-week program starting. It's an $80. You meet twice a week. The price is actually really good. And it's group, but it's a small group. So you have coaches that individualize your training plan within that group. And whether you walk, you run, walk, or you run, we're there to help progress you through. And our main key focus is keeping you injury free. And then that is going to build to your success going through that. In 3 months, we have a half marathon training program starting. And we've been doing this 5K kind of build up program. Mm-hmm. And now those people over the past 8 months are now building up to progress into that half marathon. They never thought that they would go that distance, but they've had so much success doing it. We're at that point.
Okay. That's great. Great to see that, them aspiring to do that and you getting them ready for it, because I can't imagine running that far, but I know I want to start kind of getting into, because I already walk a lot and I ride my bike, but I'm wanting to get into running a little bit more. Is jogging running? Because sometimes I'll go for like a little jog. You know, I'm not out and out sprinting. So is jogging the same as running? You're just going a little slower?
One foot in front of the other. It all comes down to perceived effort or sustaining a higher heart rate than you normally would. So Walking is a slower form of jogging, and jogging is a slower form of running. I would considering it all, putting one foot in front of the other and getting out there and moving, you can consider yourself a runner, jogger, walker, and it is all exercise. It all depends. Now, if you're a walker and you've been doing it for a long time and it becomes too easy, throwing some intermittent jogs in there to help increase your heart rate could be super beneficial for you. But walking reduces impact stress, which reduces injuries and the workload your knees are going to take. I think it's really good for a lot of people, and I just don't think people spend the time to do it. Every Tuesday at 6:15 p.m., we have a walking group and a running group from Fleet Feet. We're downtown beside Chrysilla's Cheesecake, across the road from Everman's, and we provide a free platform to come and get exercise in, bring your friends, and we have staff members there so you can bounce ideas off of them then.
Cool. Now, you say one foot in front of the other, so let's talk about that a little bit, because in my mind, there's two or three maybe different zones of your foot that you can actually plant when you're running, and I've seen different people do it different ways. I used to run where kind of my heel was, you know, the first to strike the ground, and then I would roll through. I've seen other people that run sort of like up on the balls of their feet. So what's the proper technique?
So the proper technique is variable depending on speed. If you're a sprinter, you're going to be on the balls of your feet. You're going to be moving fast. If you're jogging very slowly, mid, slightly four, and then as you go faster, you move more forefoot. When you're walking, you're obviously keeping ground contact the entire time. That's where you'll have a little bit more hip sway and you will have a little bit more roll through your foot. But that's some of the type of advice that we give in the store. As your outfitter's working with you, those questions are perfect because everyone's going to be different. Everyone's biomechanics are going to be different. And when we fit for shoes, we take all of this into consideration. So my best friend loves the ASICS brand. Right. But just for me, the ASICS brand doesn't work quite as well for me as it does for him. So we like to fit individuals for different shoes and within those brands, those specific models. So I've got my shoe secret, and outfitters are trained for this. So because we carry all brands and all models of shoes, the brands and the companies embed different densities in the cushion system of the shoe. So where you put the most pressure on your foot, you're going to deplete the cushion the fastest right there. So the outfitters are trained to pick those models of shoes that have denser piece of materials right there in the midsole built in. So maybe you don't even need an insole, so that you prevent that breakdown of the shoe. Because we look at the future of your activity and the shoe breakdown. We don't look at, okay, it looks great right out of the box because every shoe's nice and built up. We look at 2, 3, 4 months in and how you're going to compress that cushion system. Right now, there's a big craze on very high cushion shoes, those thick shoes, where we came off of this craze of minimalistic, barefoot, and, you know, very minimal style shoes. Now we're at a craze of the opposite. And sometimes that very thickness and that cushion can create some instability, especially for those over their normal body weight. So this is something we advise people on. I love a good soft cushion sole of a shoe. It takes up all my pressure points. But if it breaks down prematurely and can potentially cause instability sooner than later, I might advise against that for somebody. But we can find that perfect and that right fit with that perfect shoe with that right density in the midsole. That's what we're trying to do. I guess you're getting at this point, I am a shoe geek.
Well, yeah. Hey, I know people that spend most of their life collecting and finding rare tennis shoes and you know, famous brands and things like that and one-offs. I mean, dude, I know. I totally understand. It's not just fashion. It's health related. It's totally geek out on it, man.
Those geeks later in life were called experts.
Exactly, yeah. And look at you now, man. Hey, if you have questions this morning, let us know, 437-1620. I remember on, I think it was the first show I had you on, Pep Talk, you were talking about how if you wear the same shoes to work all week long, they're going to fit differently on Friday, and you're going to have less support because, like you said, like there's parts of that shoe where if you look 2-3 months down the road, you're going to be depleting that cushion in that area where you strike the foot. So that's just, I just thought that was fascinating. And I'm guilty, man. I wear Converse a lot. And these shoes, there is no padding. That is the flattest, just, there's nothing there.
Your foot's going to do more work in a shoe without as much cushion on a hard surface or more support, or as much support. But I will say this, it's having the cushion and support in those shoes is an enabler. It helps the user go longer. I look at it like this. If you were to run a half mile, you could probably do it barefoot, maybe a quarter mile. If you wanted to do 10 on a hard surface, you might need to add a little bit more cushion and support. And this is what we want to take into consideration when fitting for shoes. Where you're at right now, where you want to progress to, and then the right shoe accommodation and shoe envision from your starting point and then your ending point, which is your success point. And it's about the journey. And a lot of people pick like a 5K or 10K to finish up with. But the real meat and potatoes is the journey to get there. And that's what we want to help you with.
All right. We have a caller on the line. Bruce from Pensacola, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. What's your question today from Makai Rockwell from Fleet Feet?
Do you do anything with tennis shoes? I have a son that plays tennis, and he goes through shoes like crazy. Is there any, do y'all do any special sizing or anything according to the tennis shoes? I'm going to hang up and listen and enjoy the show.
Okay.
Right. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you. Yes, so we don't sell tennis-specific shoes, and a lot of people call shoes tennis shoes, but we're talking about a shoe used for the tennis court lateral movement. What we can do for you is come in and we have the 3D foot scanner. We don't charge for that, so we can get your correct sizing before your purchase, and we can also add an insole to that. We have different volumes of insoles like arch heights. The key with a tennis shoe and fitting for an insole, the tennis shoes typically don't have arch support, but what we can do is find the insole that fits in there the best and your foot at the same time, because that's kind of the variable, is there's not a lot of room in there, so we need to fit it for an insole to give you the right amount of support so that you're not going to twist an ankle doing those medial and lateral movements.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's why I couldn't do tennis. And then in gym, they always tried to make us do that. What do they call those? Running sprints where you run and then you stop. And
shuttle, yeah, shuttle drills.
Oh, man, I hated those.
Those are ankle breakers.
Yeah, it's a good way to pull a hammy. 437-1620. Keep your questions and comments rolling in. We've got the text line open, and you can also call, and we'll put you right on the air with Micaiah Rockwell from Fleet Feet. They're located down there on Garden Street next to Everman, and this place that I have not yet been to, and that's Crisula's Cheesecake?
Yes. They custom-made cheesecakes. I stay out of there as much as possible because it's so tasty.
I bet.
I'm like, you could cut those with baking powder and sell them on the corner.
Man, I'm telling you, yeah. So get some custom footwear and then go get you a custom cheesecake. Across from Everman's, they're open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 6, and Sunday, 12 to 4. No appointment necessary. Let's talk a little bit about some runs coming up because Global Running Day is June 5th. So we're going to be celebrating that, right?
We're building up June 5th, and if you follow us on Facebook, Fleet Feet Pensacola, we're going to be putting more out about this. We're going to be partnering with the 200 South Palafox Run, where the Old World of Beer was. We're going to be doing a free timed 5K there. Every week on Wednesday at 6 p.m., they do a 5K. The cops come block the road, but we're going to be partnering with them this year to put an arch up and a time clock, and you can time yourself as well. It's not going to be a chip timing system or anything, more of like just get out there, put one foot in front of the other, and move for Global Run Day. It's going to be the big run.
The big one on June 5th, and that's a Wednesday.
That's a Wednesday.
All right, 200 South Palafox, and then the Disaster Dash 5K coming up on June 15th. Where's that going to be, and tell us about that?
Yeah, that's going to be at Seville Square. June 15th, it's Disaster Dash is their first year doing it. It's to bring hurricane awareness, and they're going to have vendors there of supplies that you might need during a disaster, and a disaster could come in many forms. But what are you going to do within that first 24 to 48 hours? Or what are you going to have on hand? Are you going to have first aid kits? Are you going to have gasoline? This is one of those things that you want to go to. Sure, we're going to run a 5K and we're getting awareness out about running and walking the distance because it's very popular. But also coming to the event expo, we're doing the packet pickup at the store. You're going to be able to see some stuff that is out there that you maybe didn't know about. You know, those portable hand crank radios. Well, now they've got different stuff these days. They've got lights built in. They've got them that last so much longer. You don't even have to crank them. They've even got them where you can locate where it is with your phone app so that because you haven't used it in 3 years and you don't know where it's at now.
Yeah, most of those old school crank radios and power supplies don't, they didn't have USB connections on them. So I'm sure that they've probably fixed that because you got to power your phone. Hey, what better way to crank it up? 437-1620, let us know if you have any questions or comments. We've got a few minutes left with Micaiah Rockwell from Fleet Feet. Now, this is something that I've heard about. A lot of people, when I see they're about to work out, they'll immediately start stretching. You know, they'll walk into the gym, they just got right out of the car, and then they'll just start stretching it up. Is that, because I've heard from other people, no, you should warm up a little bit first, do a little bit of activity, light activity, get those muscles warm, then stretch them. So what do you say? What is your take on this?
So before your workout, stretching is great, but also warming your muscles up is even better, but doing it at the same time is the key. So you're doing what we would call dynamic stretching, where you're doing your leg swings and kind of moving to warm the muscles up while you lightly stretch them at the same time. Then after your workout, after everything's really, really warm, then you can give them a really nice stretch and you run less of a risk of pulling a muscle.
Yeah, I know all about that. I pulled a muscle in my back this weekend. I'm still sitting here just trying to move around a little bit, still a little stiff. I'm at the age, though, where a sneeze will take me out. You know, if I feel a sneeze coming, I'm like, okay, let me get in the right position. Let me put my arm up here and then my leg there. Okay, I'm not going to kill
myself. You give the preliminary grunt before you sit down. You're, doesn't hurt, you're just ready for it.
Exactly, yeah. Get out and move. Go to Fleet Feet down on Garden Street next to Everman and across from this awesome cheesecake place that I'm going to try. Get some custom footwear, because even if you're just walking, if you're on your feet all day, we've talked about this before, the restaurant industry, our servers and hosts and people on their feet in the kitchen, what do you have designed for them?
Yeah, so we have many different models designed for them, but what we look at is, if you take myself into consideration, I'm being a shoe geek or a shoe fitting expert, we look at every activity as something that we can fit for. So those in the restaurant industry, we look at it as, you're walking a lot. You're doing lots of steps. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to place their foot differently. You're also doing what I call pivot stepping. So you might be shimmying left and shimmying right and then flat out walking back and forth. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take all this into consideration. As a shoe fitting expert, I train all of my staff one-on-one. So when someone comes in and they run something by us, they're like, I had a guy the other day, he was like, I moved down from Michigan and I'm running on the beach and I like to get knee deep in the water and run. Do you have anything for me? So I was like, well, you know, I don't think there's much design specifically for that, but I do look at the aspects of we want to keep sand particles out of your feet as much as possible so you're compensating less and you're not chafing as much so you can do this tomorrow. And then we kind of went on with the right socks. He had some shoes, and we just kind of built this up for him. And then I get a lot of people coming in. They're somewhat immobile. They're a little bit older in age, and they bring their loved ones in. We get really hands-on when we fit them, and we just need something very stable. If it's too lightweight or flexible, their foot's going to work more. We need something that's going to kind of plant their foot to the ground so it becomes less of a tripping hazard. That also keeps in mind, you know, we're coming up with these real thick, soft shoes. Sometimes those can become tripping hazards for those that are a little immobile, especially if you hit a little carpet in your house walking in.
Right.
Or someone on their feet all day. The first thing that comes to me is a nurse. They're walking crazy miles through the week, and that's where I recommend certain shoes based off certain things and then them to rotate shoes. So they're engaging certain muscle groups with a higher heel to toe drop or lower heel to toe drop or a different cushion system and rotate because you're compressing that cushion every single day. So you have the softest shoe on Monday when you start back work. Right. And by Friday, you've compressed that sucker down and it doesn't have nearly as much supporting cushion to it.
Yeah. We did have a text in here from a listener. They said, I have nice Asics and I want to start being more active and start walking and running more, but they hurt the top of my feet after a little bit. Can you help with lacing on current shoes if we bring those shoes in?
Yes, and we will do that for free for you on your current shoes. But what the first day of training I do with my staff, I show them a shoe and I tell them, this is not made of concrete. So we look at, for what you're describing, and I thank you for texting in, we look at where the peak of your instep is and where it hits where the lacing is, and we might skip a couple of eyelets to relieve the tension on the top. Because if you think about it, we're putting pressure on the top of your foot, but that's translating to pressure on the bottom of your foot. We're actually squeezing your foot. Your foot is designed as a shock absorber, and if you're tying it or if it's having undue pressure on it, it's not flexing like it normally should. And you're going to get a compensation injury because you're going to keep weight off that foot and keep it from flexing and hurting. Mm. Definitely come into the shop, run exactly what you said by the staff. They will be more than happier to help you. And if you're in the shop today, I'll be there too until about 3 o'clock. And I would love to work with you. Mm.
Any tips on what to eat before a run? Should you eat before a run?
I say don't change anything that you're doing. The number one rookie mistake before you run or walk is doing something different, especially if it's a big day for you. But as you eat food, your gut or your intestines, they build up a microbiome that are cultured to digest what you've been eating. So say I eat chocolate a lot, I got my biome built up to absorb that chocolate and give me energy. And then if I switch over to leafy greens, I might not have as many leafy green biome to digest that, and it could give me gastrointestinal issues. Mm. I say stay consistent and build up your biome, what you want it to be able to absorb over time. You want it to absorb healthy stuff. Whenever those biome digest that food and eat it up, it's pooping out to you energy. You want it to give you a lot of energy.
Yeah. And if you're going to try like a wheatgrass supplement or something, do it on a day when you're not running and you're home.
And do it in small increments building up. Just like if you were wanting to build up a tolerance for some type of poison, you would want to do just little bitty bits over time. You wouldn't want to go big dose at one time because you run into big, big issues. Same thing with foods, just light build up over 2 to 3 week period.
What are some of the most common injuries and mistakes that we get from?
So the most common injury, I did say it earlier, blisters, but we see more of what they call plantar fasciitis in the store coming in, and that is associated heel pain first thing in the morning when you stand up. We need more arch support, more arch immobilization. It's actually relatively easy to combat in the early stages. And then we also have doctor referrals we can send you to. The calves play a huge role in plantar fasciitis, relieving tension there too.
All right, Micaiah, thank you so much. Go to FleetFeetPensacola.com.